welcome to the Ted Brower Show. This is your host, Austin Brower. I am on tonight by myself again. The connection with Ted was not very good, so we couldn't get him on. So it'll be me tonight. He should be back on with us hopefully tomorrow or maybe Tuesday. We'll see how it goes. Hope you guys had a good, relaxing, restful weekend. I know a lot of you have already seen that Obama's about to start his 7 o'clock Oval Office address, so I'm sure that's going to be pretty pretty highly viewed right now online and also on TV. A couple things about that. I don't know exactly what he's going to discuss. I'm sure it's going to be addressed in a little bit. I know there's already been a few people online that discussed that, you know, he's going to talk about guns and weapons and terrorism and all this other stuff. So we'll really have to see what his plans are with that. When you watch it, though, make sure you pay attention to the times that he uses the word guns compared to how many times he uses the words Islamic terrorism. Majority of the time when they have these speeches, you know, they're very well written, very key placed words in these speeches. And what they like to do is they like to subconsciously promote an idea or an ideology they want you to take hold of. That's why a lot of times they'll demonize and talk about how bad guns are, how we need to restrict them, how we can't do this, we can't do that. They're already saying now that they want to even push harder again to make it so anybody on the no-fly list cannot own or purchase a firearm, which I'll go into that in a little bit. But I mean, why is it as of right now, you know, with ISIS now threatening chemical weapons attacks on the West, would any politician, any media group, anybody that's got even part of a brain even think about disarming the American people? That doesn't even make any sense to me, guys. I mean, so we know that there's a whole other agenda to this. Anybody that can use any type of rational sense realizes this has got an entire agenda behind it. Just like PBS now just pushed out that new, I don't know if you guys saw it, the mass shooting map. And it looks crazy. I mean, it's got all these little balloon blips all over the place. Basically, it's anybody that was in a shooting of, or four more people killed, including the initial perpetrator. And what's crazy about it, though, is the map's complete and total garbage, because there's not any backing or any descriptive facts about the statistics that they're coming up with, all these little balloons with the numbers in them. It's just stating this is how many people died in a shooting here. It makes it look very terrifying to anybody that just goes off a visual image and doesn't actually read real statistical numbers and look what's going on. A couple things I thought about is they don't address at all if any of these were homeowners or law-abiding citizens protecting a family, a home, a property, loved ones, anything like that. Also, are any of these gang violence? Because a lot of times there's a massive, massive amount of gang violence in a lot of the populated areas that show up in here. That's not addressed at all. Were any of the shooters victims of the mental health industry, or taking SSRI antidepressants, or drugs like Chantix, which we know lead to suicidal thoughts and actions? And also, in all those little blips with all the shootings, were any of the guns legally obtained? That's a huge question, because all this push for gun control and gun confiscation is simply a scare tactic, guys. It's meant to frighten those who won't think more deeply about the issue and won't think out of the box. They just basically read it and say, oh man, look at all those mass shootings, we better ban guns, that'll fix that. So I mean, here's a couple numbers. The mass shootings under the last five presidents, okay, and this is a mass shooting of four or more people in one place being killed. And under Ronald Reagan, 8 years in a row, Ronald Reagan, from 81 to 89, through a total of 11 mass shootings. So a little more than one every year. George W. Bush Sr., from 89 to 93, in 4 years, there were 12 mass murders. Bill Clinton, 8 years, 93 to 2001, 23 mass murders. George W. Bush, 8 years, 01 to 2009, 20 mass murders. Barack Hussein Obama, from 2009 to his present year, 162 mass murders. 162. We're talking literally 5, 6, 7 times than some of these other presidents just in the last 30 years. That right there, guys, Can anybody honestly look at those numbers and say that something's not fishy about that? That no other time in history have we had this many mass shootings over and over and over again, and all of a sudden Barack Hussein Obama takes office, and all of a sudden they spike up 600-700% over the other presidents in the last 20 to 30 years. Nothing's changed in America except for radical Islam coming in and Barack Hussein Obama coming in. That's it. So those are two things that you really have to look at. And so, I mean, when I see numbers like that, then I see that stupid, you know, blip with all the mass shootings, that doesn't make me want to turn in my guns. The mass shooting maps, all it does is make me want to double up and carry more ammo with me and not go any places that I'm not allowed to legally carry. I mean, just come on. I mean, that's the only thing you should want to do when you see stuff like that. And what's interesting now is we know last year the president approved a substantial expansion of the no-fly list, where basically concrete facts were no longer necessary for law enforcement or intelligence agencies. They could pretty much flag anyone for any reason as being suspected of terrorism. One could be added to a watch list for being suspected of being a suspected terrorist. That's how weird it's gotten now with this whole no-fly list. That's why he brought that up the other day. Everybody went, whoa, that's a whole other animal here. You know, we've already seen him do the high taxation on ammunition in some states. He's already threatened that nationwide. We've already seen the identification requirements for purchasing ammo in California. We've already seen outright bans on the importation of specific firearms like the Sega, the Kalashnikov-style Sega weapons. We've also seen a complete and total ban in specific states on weapons and magazine capacities. So we already know that there's an overt and sustained push to completely eliminate the Second Amendment. They want that out. You know, and what's crazy to me is Obama says, it's insane. If you're too dangerous to board a plane, you're too dangerous by definition to buy a gun. And so I'm calling on Congress to close this loophole now. But what's crazy is anything, essentially now, can brand you being a suspected terrorist. According to Homeland Security, and this came out a couple years ago, it doesn't take much to get you on the no-fly list or potential terrorist list or whatever they want to brand you. Expression of libertarian philosophies, Second Amendment-oriented views, survivalist literature, self-sufficiency as in stockpiling ammo, food, medical supplies, stockpiling gold and silver and barterable items, religious views, expressed fears of big government or big brother, homeschooling, declarations of constitutional rights and civil liberties, belief in New World Order conspiracies, anti-abortion beliefs. These are all blatantly, clearly stated that these could land you in the potential homegrown terrorist category, which can immediately put you on the no-fly list. What's crazy is if you do any research on this whole no-fly list, if you're secretly blacklisted, you have no real path to challenge the status. You're essentially restricted from using that travel at all, period. Hundreds of thousands of Americans are on this watch list of considered and be considered known or suspected terrorists based on secret rules and evidence that are basically completely suspect, and you can't contest them. Obama's latest proposal would mean that not only would those added to the watch list without cause or due process be restricted from flying or even getting a legitimate job in that area, they would also not be allowed to purchase firearms. The next step, of course, would be the disarmament of those that already have guns that are put on this list. So you guys have to understand that this whole charade they're trying to play now, remember, every time they do this, they try a different option. They did it after Sandy Hook. They even tried to do it after the community college shooting up in Oregon back in October. What's funny is Obama demanded more gun control, demanded it. So we have to do something about gun control after that shooting. And on the exact same day, you can look this up, he authorized a massive shipment of small arms to the Syrian opposition, which is essentially known as the ISIS-linked militants, if you do any type of research. On the exact same day, he authorized that shipment of weapons. So it's kind of funny to me because they don't agree with Assad's regime, so they fund, arm, and give large, small weapons and anti-aircraft weapons to the Syrian opposition, which go right to ISIS. But yet they want to turn around and say America needs to be disarmed. I mean, give me a break. There's an article that came out. Let's see if I can find it. I saw it a little bit ago when I was looking for some stuff. I was so shocked on the unbelievable bias that this thing was. Here it is right here. It was 3 days ago. It says, this is from the New York Times, which we already know how unbelievably liberal they are. It stated, and this is the title, how a conservative-led Australia ended mass killing. And then it goes in this giant debacle of an article that goes, oh, how the shooting in 1996, they took all the weapons, they did the gun confiscation, blah, blah, blah. How after that, there had, so far there's never been a mass killing of four more people in one place since then. But what's funny is nowhere in this article do they go in to record the actual amounts of severe crimes that happen. Yes, there is no doubt about it if you look at it. The overall exact gun homicides and mass shootings went down after they confiscated the weapons. Could you expect anything else? They confiscated almost, I think, 600,000 weapons and destroyed them. Give me a break. You know that's obviously going to do something as far as the pool for firearms. And even on the black market, getting illegal firearms, they're going to get more expensive. But what's crazy is when you look at, like, the Australian Senator David Leonhelm that I talked about a few weeks ago, he stated that we're a nation of victims. This is a Democratic senator in Australia. He said we're a nation of victims. You cannot own a gun for self-defense, but the criminals still have guns. And it's, you even go on to actually read real research articles about the crime. A year after the gun ban, the gun disarmament, full-blown gun disarmament, they even stated here that assaults were up 8.6%, armed robberies were up 44%. Now, remember, all the guns got confiscated. So how did armed robberies go up 44%? Because the robbers didn't turn in their firearms, and all the law-abiding citizens didn't own a firearm anymore. In the state of Victoria, homicides with firearms actually went up 300%. So it's crazy to see real statistical numbers when you actually look at it, because this whole article in the New York Times basically went in to discuss only specifically mass killing and how, you know, it was so good that the gun confiscation and the gun ban ended mass killing. Again, I'll reiterate this. Why is it that our president has almost 600 to 700% increase in mass shootings compared to any other president in the last 30 years? Actually, in history, if you look up any of them. But that's just using the last five presidents. I mean, 162 mass murders? Really? In 7 years in office? And you're telling me that that's not... I mean, even under the Clinton administration, who we all know what he was involved in, he had 23 mass murders. 23? Obama has 162? I mean, if you can't open your eyes and realize that obviously something is being choreographed behind the scenes to slowly relieve us of our gun rights, then you obviously are not awake anymore. It's crazy because even after that shooting in California, all we kept hearing about was, you know, gun confiscation, this and that. Nobody really talked anything about real radical Islam and the problem that it has. And we know when it comes down to it that gun confiscation is going to end up, you know, all it does is eliminating guns in America and monopolizing all the guns in the hands of the government. The same government, remember, this is the same government that we're saying if they allow us to be disarmed, if we allow ourselves to be disarmed, they're going to be the only ones with guns. This is the same government that used IRS as a political weapon to terrorize conservative groups. The same government that used IRS now to fine you if you don't have government-mandated health care. The same government that prosecutes natural healers and alternative cancer doctors for saving lives. The same government that demands all of your children be vaccinated, or if they have cancer, be injected with chemotherapy, even without parental consent and in complete violation of your rights. So when we see a government tell us that it's for our best interest that they disarm us, I have a hard time believing them. Does anyone really believe if they start having gun confiscation here in the United States that ISIS cell terrorists and radical Islam and really anybody in general, like violent criminals, muggers, robbers, carjackers, thieves, they're all just going to turn in their guns for the good of society? I mean, it's almost mind-boggling to me today now because I was just so much stuff I've been reading. I'm having a hard time understanding if the United States population is this stupid, if we really are believing, at least even a small population is really believing what type of rhetoric they're spewing out. Because it's so difficult for me to even comprehend it that it's actually legitimate news now. It's crazy because you take the idea that legal gun owners across America are to blame for the action of ISIS terrorists. That's just straight up asinine. There's not even a legitimate backing to that argument. You couldn't even have that argument with a straight face. You couldn't do it. There's so many holes in it. It looks like Swiss cheese. It's ridiculous. And now we start seeing here now, between 2009 to 2013, Homeland Security has now issued 680,000 green cards to migrants, including refugees from Iraq, Pakistan, Egypt, Syria, and they're expecting another 660,000 over the next 5 years. What's interesting, too, is in between 2009 and 2013, the U.S. granted green cards to 83 individuals from Pakistan, another 83,000 individuals from Iraq, making them the two leading nations for immigration to the U.S. So right there, I mean, you understand that there's a significant problem with that, obviously. Just because that's a lot of people coming in that aren't being properly vetted. We're already seeing that. I mean, this guy's wife out in California did this. She was on a visa. She's complete and total Islamic jihadist. She wanted nothing to do with American society. She wanted nothing to do with our way of life. She wanted nothing to do with our Christian values. The only thing she wanted to do was go into a disability health center, I think what it was, and slaughter people for absolutely no reason whatsoever. And what's crazy is we're slowly becoming a giant country of immigration. Now, you guys know that, you know, my grandma, you know, Ted's mom, came over here to the United States from Germany after World War II. Immigration can be an amazing thing, and especially for people that want to come here, want to really, you know, live the American dream, so to speak. I hate using that term because it's overused, but they really want to take, you know, America as this great country and add to it with their wealth of knowledge and their abilities and their work ethic, and they want to help and sustain America to grow further. That's awesome. That's a great idea. I love it. But when we have these, I mean, we're getting to a point now where the foreign-born population in the United States now is at 41 million. One quarter of the U.S. population is now either foreign-born or has foreign-born parents. Now, like I said, there's nothing wrong with this, but we're massively increasing the level of population to Middle Eastern people in the United States without any serious backing or vetting. That's the issue that's going on. And then when we see stuff like this happen in California and nobody wants to even properly admit it. I mean, here's an article right here. I mean, there's multiple articles all over the place. London. Police are treating Tube Station knife attack as a terrorist incident. Police say they're investigating an unprovoked knife attack in the East London Tube Station Saturday, which left a man with serious injuries as a terrorist incident. The assailant, Muslim, 29 years old, was subdued with a stun gun and arrested for attempted murder. You know, and this is in England, where guns are completely banned. And this guy's still getting knifed by a Muslim, and they stated that the police are looking in the ports to the suspect yelled, "This is for Syria," during the attack. I don't know if that's true or not, but wouldn't surprise me, a lot of the whole ISIS stuff. Then again, we have a man in North Dakota uttering Allah Akbar during his assault as he basically raped and terrorized a woman at a gas station. He's being charged with 5 felony counts of gross sexual imposition, kidnapping, aggravated assault, and 2 counts of terrorizing. Court documents that he forced a woman working at Gordy's Travel Plaza into the woman's bathroom, locked the door behind him, and started assaulting her in the center of the room. So it's just... see this repeatedly. We see this. We're seeing this all over the world now with massive, massive assaults from flat out, straight up Islam people that are coming over here. It's something that we definitely need to keep a lookout for. Now, there's also another article that I. This guy's pretty funny. You need to watch the video. He's pretty wide open, man. U.S. Congressman or former U.S. Congressman Joe Walsh. He's got a show a lot that he does. He urged Attorney General Loretta Lynch to arrest him as she warned on Tuesday that her office would take a more aggressive approach to those spewing anti-Muslim rhetoric. It's funny. He goes on here and says, I think Islam has a problem. That's what he states in here. He goes, there is a cancer in Islam, and if they are not going to learn to assimilate, they don't need to be in this country. You got a problem with Loretta Lynch with me saying that, then throw me in jail. I think Islam is evil. I think Islam has a huge problem. I think most Muslims around the world are not compatible with American values, and I don't want them here. I do agree with that. I mean, I'm as much as you guys may get mad at me for that, they're not compatible. If they don't want to come here, if they don't want to be introduced and embrace our American Christian values, our way of life, they don't need to be in this country. Why do you even think you should be allowed to go into a country like this and then take it over and force everybody to be, you know, subservient to your way of life? And then Loretta Lynch coming out like this and saying that she's going to have, you know, harsh, aggressive approach to those spewing anti-Muslim rhetoric. It's just, it's completely outlandish. Now, a few health articles here you guys always like. They're, proceed with caution, but steer clear of creating GMO babies. This is the general message sent Thursday by the dozen scientists who organized the International Summit on Human Gene Editing in Washington, D.C. The experts said at the end of the 3 days of deliberation and presentations that not all gene therapy should move forward, and the world is not ready for germline editing that permanently changes an embryo so that the edit can be passed along to future children. It's straight up gene manipulation, nothing else. The fact that they even want to start doing this now is so egregious to me. It even says here, but then it goes on to say, it says, if in the process of research, early human embryos or germline cells undergo gene editing, the modified cells should not be used to establish a pregnancy. So they're already saying that they're going to continue to go with it, but they shouldn't be using the cells in basically to make a pregnancy. One of these mistakes could introduce a devastating mutation into the human race that could be permanent, especially since non-experts easily can get their hands on this technology. It can do some pretty weird stuff. They even said it can allow scientists to create the designer children that you've heard about a few years ago, where they can, you know, pick out specific eye color, hair color, intelligence level, artistic abilities. I mean, weird stuff. And I mean, when you start doing stuff like this, there's a whole nother level of implications. All this genetically modified stuff, whether it be the corn we're eating, the salmon that they want to start have swimming around now, or the babies. The U.S. National Institute of Health has said it won't finance germline editing in human embryos due to safety and ethical issues. For now, any researchers who wish to work with embryos will have to find their own funding, even if the embryos are not intended for implantation. The White House has also stated that altering the human germline for clinical purposes is a line that should not be crossed at this time. I love the way they always put stuff like that in there. They always give themselves an out for later. At this time, they put it at the end of it. Look, guys, I've preached repeatedly over the GMO problem. It's something that definitely should not be taken lightly. There's a whole other segment of issues that are going to start coming up that we've already seen coming up severely in the last 10 to 15 years, and it's only going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. There's nothing that ever is going to come good from GMO food. There's absolutely nothing positive about them at all. I mean, the fact that, I mean, we're soaking down. I mean, I keep hearing repeatedly people telling me, you know, man, I ate this food, or I went and ate out and ate pizza here, or I went and ate this, and I got super sick. And I'm sitting there, you know, they're telling me what's going on, and I'm like, well, you know, was it non-GMO? Oh, no, it was just a regular restaurant. I'm hearing it repeatedly now. People are eating bread, especially wheat. For some reason, wheat is really, really toxic with glyphosate. Well, we know why. The reason why is because they're spraying it as a desiccant at like 5 to 6 days before harvest, also dry it out as well. So what's happening is you're literally, they're spraying more and more and more Roundup or glyphosate on these wheats, which they're in turn obviously making bread. That's why you're hearing all these people having issues of being, you know, gluten intolerant. It has nothing to do with being gluten intolerant. It has a problem to do with GMO and glyphosate toxicity. People have been eating gluten and wheat for thousands of years with no adverse side effects from it, guys. This is not normal. This is not something else that, oh wow, we're the first civilized society in the world now to become gluten intolerant for absolutely no apparent reason. No, does anybody wonder why gluten intolerance has become such an issue in the last 10 to 15 years? Yes, because GMOs have become so prevalent and glyphosate is so widely used around the country now. That's why, you know, Putin stated last week that his goal is to make Russia basically the largest non-GMO organic food exporter in the world. He knows how toxic this stuff is. He sees it. He knows. Here's another article. This is a really actually interesting article. Processed foods turn Americans into malnourished, dumbed-down addicts. And this is interesting. It goes into a little bit of cannabis here at the beginning, but I thought it was interesting because it actually is pretty accurate. This, they say, authorities often call marijuana an addictive gateway drug, which it can be in some instances. There's no question about that, especially in young children. Can also impede proper brain development. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency classifies cannabis as a Schedule 1, as federal law is classified as a Schedule 1. Regardless of what you guys think out in Colorado, California, Washington State, if it's legal out there for recreational use, it is still a Schedule 1 controlled substance by the federal government and is a felony to possess. It's also in the same category as methamphetamines and cocaine, which is so asinine. Not even funny. SWAT teams are deployed on a regular basis to growing operations and legal dispensaries all the time now, still arresting people, still burning plants, still, you know, confiscating money, everything else, even in states that it's legal. People don't even realize that because it's not getting any viewership or any type of media coverage. People can be jailed for months to years when caught with various amounts of parts of this plant. You guys already know that. And, you know, at worst, people use cannabis to become lazy. They smoke, they eat, they get lazy. Kind of sad, but, you know, people can drink themselves to death, and that's completely legal. If we should be fighting a war, it needs to be against a much more addicting substance, which is processed food. The health implications and the long-term addictive properties of processed food are so much stronger than any problem ever associated with marijuana. A new study from the University of Michigan confirms that highly processed foods like standard pizza, donuts, french fries, box pastries, and a lot of chocolate are more addictive than any other substance we put in our body. The euphoria that processed food brings to the taste buds and the brain is short-lived, yet the consequences of this addicting food include some of the most deadly and destructive health conditions, including diabetes, obesity, cancer, and heart disease. The added fat and refined carbohydrates is found in the white flour, hydrogenated oil, and sugar-based processed food products are the real addictive substances destroying mankind. These addictive food substances can easily dominate a person's life, causing substance addiction. It doesn't matter how miserable they become, they seek their processed food high, despite the health risks. And this is an incredibly true statement. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to read this article, is I have spoke to so many people. I get phone calls in the office all the time. You guys that call in, you know that. I'm extremely busy. I do the best I can to help everybody out all the time. And by the way, this radio show is brought to you by healthmasters.com. If you have any questions, give us a call or check out our website at healthmasters.com. But back to my earlier topic, I get so many phone calls where people call in and they feel horrible. They're out of shape, they're obese, their blood pressure's high, they're on medication, their cholesterol's through the roof. And the, you know, the first thing I do, and everybody knows this, the first thing I do is I don't give you a laundry list of stuff. I don't. I mean, I could tell you all, rattle off all the stuff. Like, you need to buy this right now. I don't. The first thing I address is your exercise, your food intake, and your water intake. Those are the first three things I always address with everybody. Now, everybody always thinks, like I said, it always comes down to supplements. And supplements play a very, very crucial positive role in how people's bodies respond in overall health. But the thing about it is, you can take all the supplements that we carry in our office every single day, and if you go out and eat Doritos with MSG and Dunkin' Donuts with hydrogenated oil and pizza and cupcakes and donuts and, you know, all the junk that you already know you're eating that you shouldn't be eating, or you see everybody else eating that they shouldn't be eating, the Taco Bell and the McDonald's, I don't care if you take everything we have, it's still not going to be enough to compensate for the negative, toxic garbage that you're putting in your body on a daily basis. That's why I say, please, let's get your diet in check. Let's get your exercise. Let's get your water intake in check. Then let's add in some base supplements. That's why the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit that we have on the website is such a huge selling kit. It's a really, really awesome base protocol that covers your really basic needs with a really good budget and a good, good protocol. But the thing is, my whole reasoning for this rant, I'm sorry, I'm tired. It's been a long weekend, and so I'm trying to give you guys the best that I have right now. I get so many phone calls, and that's the first thing I address is food. And then people want to go, well, I like eating my pasta. I usually have bread every morning, and I like my sandwiches. And I, you know, sometimes, I don't eat them all the time, but I like to have, you know, a cupcake occasionally. And I, you know, I only have sodas a couple times a week. Our response is, cut it all out. All of it. I didn't say 90% of it. I said all of it. You already know what you're eating is garbage. If you've done any type of research, had any set of ears on your head, you've heard it before that this stuff is garbage. Now you're already seeing the University of Michigan's coming out with this study that highly processed foods are super addictive, more addictive than almost any other substance. Another article, the leader author of the study, Erica Schult, a a psychology doctoral student, said they studied several individuals who actually showed severe symptoms of food addiction. Those with a higher body mass index had the worst problems overcoming their addiction to processed foods. Many were sensitive to the rewarding properties of food. The processed foods tricked their mind into thinking they are full, but in reality, the junk is only starving the person of nutrition. Now, the thing you have to understand, the thing they don't address in this article that I wish you did, is one of the primary mechanisms of why you see that, why people will eat a giant thing of donuts and a 2-liter thing of soda, and then they still have enough room to go fit an extra large pepperoni pizza in. The high fructose corn syrup. The high fructose corn syrup, for some reason, I'm not sure the exact mechanics of it, but what it does is it increases the ghrelin that's released in your stomach, causing you to still feel hungry, like you still need more food. Even though your stomach's bloated out past your pants, you feel like you're going to vomit because your stomach's so tight, you still feel hungry. So you still are craving more junk food. That's one of the primary reasons it causes that, is from the high fructose corn syrup. The high fructose corn syrup is completely, 99.9% of the time, made from GMO corn. So not on top of that are you getting the GMO effects from the high fructose corn syrup. You're also having a substance put in your body that makes you feel hungrier when you're actually full. The second part of that, though, she is correct about, is that, you know, one of the reasons as well is that your food you're eating is so just empty. There's nothing in it. There's no nutrients in it. That you become very, very deficient in key minerals. That's why the first thing I tell people all the time is the base supplement you need to be on is the ultimate multiple. The next thing would be a good cod liver oil or flaxseed oil as an omega-3 fatty acid. Those two are the base supplements. If you can't afford any, if you're trying to stay on a budget, that right there, you can get the flaxseed oil for like $20, the ultimate multiple for $25.99. Right there, that's an incredibly good base. And the co-author, Nicole Avena, on this whole study said that preventing food addiction should be prioritized right along with preventing drinking, cigarette smoking, and illicit drug use. as a culture, we are focused on demonizing a plant like cannabis and jailing people over it, yet we continue to consume much more addictive and destructive processed foods in mass on a daily basis. She is absolutely right in that article. The fact that, I mean, a lot of this food is still on the market and the FDA doesn't pull it off is so egregious to me, and it just even further confirms the fact that we know they absolutely have no intent to keep our safety in check or our health in check or anything about us in check. It's all about the money. Same thing with Obamacare and this absolutely asinine program that we have now in this country forcing people to pay for insurance or be fined. It's so egregious. That's why we talked about it repeatedly before it got implemented. This was not a joke. This is a serious, serious problem that's about to be implemented. Here's an article right now of all the issues that are starting to cause even further. Several health insurance companies jumped at the opportunity to join the Obamacare marketplace because the force of law would enable these insurance companies to profit off millions of new enrollees who felt pressure to comply. In a way, the Obamacare marketplace was designed as a bailout for the already failing health insurance industry. It's obviously a bailout because the law goes as far as using the IRS tax system to fine those who don't want to buy health insurance in order to force their compliance. This is so beyond what America is built on and what we're supposed to be. This is full-blown tyranny, nothing less. And I stated that years ago when they came out with it, and I still stay true to that statement. This is full-blown tyranny. This is why we came to America, to rid ourselves from the oppressive government, that they're doing exactly this right now. Same thing I had a discussion on the other day, because I've had multiple friends now getting red light tickets repeatedly, all over the place, getting red light tickets. Red light cameras are popping up in mass in Florida. They're all over the place, especially in big cities like Orlando and Tampa. Like, everywhere you go, there's cameras everywhere. And I remember years ago when I went on a European trip, we were in England for a while. We were there for a couple days, and we ended up accruing like 7 tickets in like 2 days. It was insane. There were tickets like illegal U-turn, red light camera, doing, you know, 42 kilometers in a 35-kilometer zone. I was like, we never got pulled. How did we get 7 tickets? This is what the rental car agency. Oh, there's cameras everywhere. There's thousands, tens of thousands of cameras in the UK. And so that's what we're slowly becoming. I told my friends the other day, I said, yes, I said, these red light cameras, I said, they're privatized. They're private contractors that own them. They are not local police departments that are manning these red light cameras. They are privatized companies that are making millions and millions of dollars a year off law-abiding citizens because their front tires went over the right white line at a red light, or they ran a red light instead of slamming on their brakes and gliding into the intersection and causing more of a collision, or they turned right. The one the other day got a ticket for going right on red, but they did not come to a complete stop in the intersection turn lane. They slowed down to about 2 miles an hour. There was no traffic. So then they went ahead and turned right. Bam! Red light ticket for not coming to a complete stop in a turn lane. Are you joking me right now? Like, is this what we've become as an America? That we just have a privatized company fining us, sending us mail? They say it's a $158 fine. If you don't pay it in 60 days, it turns into a traffic citation and you're assessed 3 points. Then if you don't pay it, they suspend your license from a camera. A camera. It's not even a person. It's a stinking camera taking a photo of your tag. Nobody even knows you're driving the vehicle. So unconstitutional. It's nauseating. Anyways, back to the Obamacare. I'm sorry. That was just a side note on there. Got me just wired up with this whole IRS fining people, forcing people to buy health insurance. But what's funny now is this has come back to bite a lot of these guys in the butt. Now the health insurance companies that have joined the Obamacare marketplace are seeing millions of dollars in losses because a large subset of the population refuses to be taken advantage of by a coercive system. I can't even tell you how many people I know now that just pay the fine, including myself. I don't have health insurance. Why don't we have health insurance for? I don't ever go to the doctor. Here's the thing I tell people. the money you spend in health insurance, the average health insurance is between about $300 to $500 a month for a cheap plan for basic coverage. A tube of silver is $358 right now for 20 ounces of American Eagle silver. Buy a tube of silver a month. Put your money aside. The chances or the likelihood you're already covered under some insurance, the majority of insurance, with your vehicle insurance if you get in some type of collision. That's already covered in that aspect. If you have a job that's not covering you, you're still covered under workman's comp if you get in trouble at job or you get hurt at your job. So don't step on landmines. Eat healthy. Take your supplements. Use your brain and be acute of things around you. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody. Some people want to jump on the bandwagon and go spend $2,000 a month on health insurance for the whole family. If you want to do that, fine. That's your choice. That's the beauty of being in America. If you want to pay for health insurance, pay for it. If you don't, don't. But don't sit here and tell me that IRS is going to fine me if I don't pay my Obamacare health care tax. They're going to fine me from it. So, I mean, that's a whole topic for another day because I'm simply not paying that. I'm not paying a fine nor am I getting health insurance. So everybody needs to understand that the only way we're going to be able to stand up for this is coming together in aggregate and making sure everybody understands that we don't want to put up with this crap. The largest health insurance company in America, United Healthcare, this is the largest healthcare company in America, United Healthcare, is reporting millions of dollars in losses in just 1 year after entering the Obamacare marketplace. CEO Stephen Hemsley said it was a bad decision for us. The company no longer advertises its Obamacare plans and has even hinted at pulling completely out of the Obamacare exchanges in 2016. What used to be a profitable business is now dwindling away into million-dollar losses. United Healthcare projects that at the current rate, the company will face $500 million in losses in just a 2-year time span. That's just insane to me. But what's crazy is, you know, when you base forcing people to buy a product like health insurance only limits their options for real healing and real preventative maintenance. That's what I tell people. Preventative maintenance. Eating correctly. Training. Taking supplements, taking care of your body, all those things can be done as proactive maintenance for your health. Instead of allowing people to do that, all health insurance does, if you can't afford it, it limits your options for real healing and just milks them for all they're worth through monthly payments and erroneous premiums that aren't even funding actual healthy lifestyle choices. That's the biggest problem I have with that. Is they don't actually produce any healthy lifestyle choices. You pay hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month for insurance in the event that you may get sick, you need to go to the doctor. Really? Well, what if I took that hundreds of dollars a month and I started buying organic non-GMO food and I started buying high-quality supplements like our Ultimate Multiple and cod liver oil, and then I started getting my entire family eating organic non-GMO food, and we got a gym membership and started exercising. Oh, wait, you'd probably still have more money left over than your monthly premium from your ridiculous health insurance stuff. It's insane. You know, I mentioned it a few weeks ago. My wife, Lana, who works in the office with us here, I'm sure a lot of you guys have talked to her on the phone, she's pregnant with our first child, which we found out, you know, yesterday, actually, this could be a boy. Very exciting. I was hoping for that. But we decided that we were going to get health insurance for her for the time being as, you know, prenatal health care insurance while she's pregnant. She was the primary one that wanted it. I was a little, like, I was kind of on the fence, but she felt that it would feel her, you know, at ease if there was an issue with a pregnancy, if something happened that was catastrophic. And for that reason, she is right. If something happens with a pregnancy, and we're having it a midwife, so we're already having to pay out of pocket. So the insurance actually isn't covering anything for us at all. It's just out of pocket money every month. But that aside, if something does happen, if she has to be transferred or the baby has to be transferred to the hospital for some egregious emergency, and we have a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 bill, you know, our net payout that we have to pay, I think, is like $6,000 or $7,000. That's it. So that right there is enough ease of mind. But for everybody that you know in their 30s and 40s, you're not having kids anymore, your kids are grown or they're in college, and you're really healthy and you're active and you take supplements and your money's tight, you're trying to keep everything together, and it's coming down to eating clean and supplements or having health care, I dropped the health care straight up without even batting an eyelash. I would immediately do it because the health care does nothing to actually fund a healthy lifestyle. That was my entire point of why I was just discussing that with the Obamacare. If the health care and the Obamacare industry was designed in promoting, like, for instance, if they said, oh, your health care insurance will cover your supplements. Wow, what a concept. That would be awesome. Or at least, you know, 50, 60% copay. So if you guys call us up and you need to order, you know, your basic healthy lifestyle kit for $120, your health insurance supports half of it, and you pay $60. Oh my gosh, what a crazy concept. People stay healthier, health insurance costs stays down, and the health insurance companies have to pay out less money because less people are going to the hospital for little incidental problems like cholesterol and blood pressure, and they're taking less medication. Some of these medications that the health care pays for is insane how expensive it is. I was looking at it the other day on some of the stuff. I forgot what compound it was. Somebody was telling me. It was something like the insurance was paying for like half of it, but their prescription was still like $180 a month or something. I forgot the name, but I wish I did. But so insurance was paying, it was like $360 a month. Insurance was paying half of it, so they had to pay $180. And I'm sitting there thinking, why don't you try a couple different supplements that we have? Well, my insurance doesn't cover that, so I just do that. I had the same person get in an argument with me one day because I was telling them about supplements for healthy blood pressure, or excuse me, blood sugar, like the Hagman blood sugar protocol, the cinnamon extract, the cod, the insulin support. And he goes, well, my insurance, I have a $0 copay on my metformin, so I just take my metformin because it's free. I can't afford to take those supplements, so I'd just rather take the metformin. And plus, they've done a study out now that says that metformin helps you to live longer. And I just started laughing. And I know exactly what study he's talking about. They did a study over a period, I think, a year and a half, year and a half, over in Europe with diabetics that were taking metformin and people that were taking metformin for other incidences. And then they compared that to the length of life to diabetics that were on insulin and the length of life that diabetics were on metformin, and the metformin ones had a longer lifespan if they correlated all the numbers correctly in the research statistics over a 1.5 year period. Meaning it was completely bogus article. They didn't do a 90-year research study. That's the only way you could truly have a scientific conclusion that there's a true link to metformin and living longer. You can't do a test study on 500 people for a year and a half and say there's a direct correlation between metformin and longer life. It's a total bogus article. That's why I started laughing when the guy brought it up. I was like, this is just comical. The fact that people even believe studies like that, especially when you look it up. And then if you look up the company, the pharmaceutical company that funded that entire project, their leading medication that they manufactured and sold was a metformin product under another name. Metformin is, I think, the one specific name. The actual technical name of it, I don't remember, so I don't have it in front of me right now. But that was their leading drug that they sold, was a metformin product. And they funded the research study to let everybody know that if you take metformin, you live longer. No, you don't. There's all kinds of issues. Pancreatic cancer, kidney issues, issues with hormone production, testosterone production, brain acuteness. The whole list goes on as far as with issues with that. So I don't recommend anybody take metformin unless you absolutely have to take it as a dire emergency to get your blood sugar under control. That's it. So basically, that's all you need to do. If you need to get it under control, that's a last resort. But the supplements here, we carry them. We have them all here for you guys. If you need them, we're here. Give us a call Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Ted should be back, like I said, tomorrow or Tuesday, back on the air with us. So we should get some more info back from him when he gets back from Europe. See everything what's going on. I know that I think it's 8 o'clock now. I think they moved it to 8 o'clock because King Obama's coming on to tell us about how bad guns are and how bad terrorists are and what he's going to do to stop them, which is nothing. So I think that comes on at 8, so I'm going to see what he has to say about that, not because I actually give a lick about what that guy says or any word that comes out of his mouth, but I am curious to see how egregiously hard he tries to smash the Second Amendment rights right now, because it's coming, guys. We're definitely on a slippery slope. When we start getting the mass media pushing for it repeatedly, over and over and over again, New York Times repeatedly posting articles about how the Australian gun ban worked to stop mass killings. You understand, the reason why they're doing this is a psyop. They're programming the dumb portion of America, not you guys, not the people that are awake, the dumb portion of America that is not awake and refuses to wake up. They're priming them. They're prepping them for gun confiscation. They have to take the firearms away from everybody in order for this to work under a New World Order UN agenda. That's the only way this works. They cannot do what they want to do with this many people armed. So just understand that this concept of disarming Americans to protect us from ourselves, from ISIS people killing us, doesn't even make any sense. The whole idea is so convoluted, it doesn't even make any sense at all. So just be aware of it whenever you guys hear this tonight, when King Obama starts off on the rhetoric again, or when Clinton, or when any of these puppets go off on it. They're being told what to say. They're being told how to say it. This is the agenda of the globalists. As Ted has said so many times before, you cannot take over a country that's this well armed. It can't be done. And they know that. They have to try to disarm us first. And they want us to do it voluntarily. That's why they want to do the same Australian buyback, confiscation, tournament protocol as Australia did. They think that that may work because it did in that country. I just hope everybody here and everybody listening has enough mental acuity to stay away from this idea and not even entertain the thought of it. Don't even entertain it. Don't even think about it. That is the last final line of the sand for all of us, is the Second Amendment. There's a reason why it is the Second Amendment. It's not the 12th, it's not the 50th, it's the Second. There's a reason why it's there, and it's in place for a very specific reason. I hear the music cueing, guys. Hope you have a wonderful night and a blessed week the rest of the week. If you have any questions, give us a call up or visit our website out at healthmasters.com. If you need anything, let us know. We're here to help. You guys have a blessed night.